We skipped the series we started 2 Sundays ago last Sunday because of our casual Sunday, where we had an opportunity to answer questions. Glory to God. So we're going to continue today looking at utterances, supernatural fellowship, as we prepare towards our all-night meeting the last Friday of this month. Okay, we are having an all-night meeting last Friday. We have it at least once a year. We spend time practicing and expressing the things of the Spirit. Okay? We spend time practicing and expressing the things of the Spirit. So, all night, 10 p.m. last Friday. I think that's 28. Is it 28? 28. Okay, good stuff. So, let's keep it in mind. And also, our outreach for this quarter has been shifted to the first Saturday in July. Okay, our outreach for this quarter. Now, we had an outreach last quarter. So, for the one for this quarter has been shifted to July the 5th. So, July 6th, which is a Saturday morning. So, I want to keep it in mind. What do we do on outreach? We come together, we pray, and then we go out and win souls. Amen? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. Let's read from verse 4. We're looking at supernatural utterances. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. We'll look at some of this text and then we'll begin to unravel it for our understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, and verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I want you to notice the word gift there is italicized, if you're using the Good King James. So it says, now concerning spirituals, in the original translation, means things that pertain to the Spirit. Concerning things of the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. It gives a very strong negative connotation. It says, I would not have you ignorant concerning things of the Spirit. So Paul is addressing the church and he's talking about the reality of who they are, what they possess, and the possibility of not walking in light of what they have. See, now concerning spiritual, that is things of the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. So Paul is saying that a believer can be ignorant of spiritual realities. Now, things of the Spirit here is a wide categorization. It's talking about particularly emphasis on the expressions or manifestations of the Spirit. Now, it says, concerning those things, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, that you possess them doesn't mean you will walk in the reality of them. So, Paul's admonition. Now, I want to say one or two things at the background. This is a church that spoke so much in tongues, that operated in certain things of the Spirit, and yet this servant of God thought it necessary to write to them to give them specific instructions. Now, when we're not taught about things of the Spirit, we will limit it to experiences. That means you begin to say things like, this is how God uses me. It just happened on a particular day I was fasting. And when you don't have understanding of God's word, you will allow your experience to dictate the truth of God's word. Now, you are meant to allow God's word to show you the what you call experiences, how are they meant to function? Is there a continuity about it? Is this something you are responsible for, God is responsible for? So Paul is saying, the things of the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant, because when you have understanding, you are able to accurately walk in the reality of them. Look at verse 2. Look at what it says in verse 2. Verse 2, he says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto this dumb idols, even as you were led. Verse 3, wherefore, or for this reason, I give you to what? Understand. So the intent of the teaching is for the purpose of understanding. Understanding means that once you realize how it operates, you're able to walk in the reality of it. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I want to show you something. Acts chapter 2. We read this passage over and over again that by now most of us, or some of us at least, know it by heart. From verse 1, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and what? Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if you don't read chapter 1, the word suddenly in that verse 2 of scripture will deceive you. Because suddenly now looks as though the events happen suddenly. Nope. Jesus had spent 40 days teaching the apostles and all the disciples about how to yield to the things of the Spirit. 40 days. He had told them in chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The word receive there means you will take up. That means it's going to be available, then you are responsible for clothing yourself with that power. That is, there's a yielding, there's a response you're going to have. He had spent 40 days explaining. How else will it be possible for 120 people to respond to the same sensation, the same time, the same way? Think about it. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak. That means they began to generate a supernatural language. Why was it possible that 120 people who had been praying together did the same thing? It was because they had received direct instructions. So based on those instructions, they began to express the supernatural because they had been taught for quite a number of days. Hallelujah. Now, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, one of the things, reasons why I would teach a lot is because we have to move your mind away from experiences to understanding. If you stay with the book of Acts, Acts doesn't explain to us fully how those things came to be. So what you have in the book of Acts is a record of experiences. Experiences that are similar, but there's no doctrinal background. So when you go to the epistles, what you find there is an explanation of how these things are. So when you look at the experience, you really can't go far. You cannot support an experience by an experience. You can only support an experience with the word of God. Now, I want you to now look at the scriptures we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we'll now take it back to Acts. It will make it easier for us to understand what is taking place. Paul spoke to him and says that, I thank my God on your behalf that you have been enriched with all utterance and all knowledge. 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Say grace, ability has been given me in Christ Jesus. He now says, what is that grace he's talking about? He says, in everything. Say in everything. I have been enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. The word enriched means to make wealthy. It means to endow someone with supernatural wealth. So the word is referring to here is a reality of all utterance and all knowledge. He's talking about spiritual realities. Spirituals. That means by reason of birth, listen carefully, it's not a second phase experience. When you were born again, you received the Spirit in full measure. That means that all the manifestations of the Spirit are inside you right now. Why don't you fully express it? Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, through ignorance, you may dissociate yourself from the reality of what you're meant to be walking in. Now, when you see others who are walking the reality, it's not because they are specially graced, it's because they have what you call an understanding. So he says, I thank my God on your behalf, you have been enriched in all utterance and all knowledge. He says, you come behind in no gift. You come behind in no gift. So all the manifestations of the Spirit are resident in a believer. The word of knowledge, revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, design of spirits, utterance gifts, diverse kind of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy, power gifts, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, gift of special faith. 9 expressions of the Spirit. It says you come behind in no gift. The phrase come behind implies that you are not left without that which you need. It's talking about something that was given because you are going to need it in your Christian walk. It now says you come behind, that is, you are not lacking in all that is needed to express. You come behind in no gift. Say, I come behind in no gift. Say, I have all the gifts of the Spirit, resident in my spirit. Now, if you have some and I have some, it will mean the Holy Ghost has been given to us in measures. And that's where the challenge is. When we see some operate, we think it's a suddenly experience, which is something just comes upon you. And so, through the teaching of God's word, we're trying to get our minds away from that thinking of God will just suddenly move me. No, the Bible says they were filled, they began to speak. So what we saw in Acts 2:4 is such that if they did not begin to speak, we will see no manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, that they spoke, whether they spoke or not, was something within their control. Why did he just teach? Because they needed to understand. What did understanding produce? It enabled them to cooperate and to yield. Hallelujah. So when we come together, we are the body of Christ. All the gifts are resident here. The degree to which we will see the gifts in expression is a function of our yielding, which is at the mercy of our understanding. So the more we understand, for instance, when we come together, the more of what is already resting within us that we're able to express. Let me say it again. The gift of the Spirit don't come and go. They all began to speak. Say all. Now, let me say it this way. If you can speak with tongues, it's meant to be a pointer to you that all the things of the Spirit are already inside of you. Tongues is not a part. Tongues is a pointer, an indicator that there are many more things inside you than you have expressed. So when you start with tongues, tongues is like an announcement. It is your spirit announcing to you there is more you can receive. They began to speak. That is, they were the ones who generated the language, but they had utterance by the Spirit. So as they began, what came out was meant to call their attention to the reality of there is more from where that came from. Hallelujah. And we often say this, that tongues is a doorway to the supernatural. And if a believer can speak in tongues, he has just proven that he has the Spirit. Not only has he proven he has the Spirit, he has just proven he has the Spirit in expression. Now, if you speak in tongues at will, it means other things that are related to tongues also has to be what? Your will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's so important. It says, concerning things of the Spirit, I give you to understand. So Paul was saying, listen, we can teach you these things. What was happening in church at Corinth, they were expressing those things spontaneously at different times. And the challenge of that is this. When you wait for something to happen, when it does happen, you will try to build something around it without the authority of God's word. So Paul says, I want you to give it to others. I want you to see how these things actually function, how they operate. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll start from there this morning. 1 Corinthians 14, let's read from verse 39. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 14, are you there? Verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and one, forbid not to speak with tongues. Again, it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, he's about to get to the last verse of the scripture, or this passage of scripture. He gives an instruction that qualifies everything he has been saying since verse 1. What has he been saying? He has been giving them instructions about how do you walk in the things of the Spirit, particularly utterance gifts. Even if you're going to walk in revelation gifts, the introduction is always utterance gifts. So in other words, if a man can speak in tongues, he not only has the Spirit, he has all the expressions of the Spirit. He now says something to us, wherefore brethren, covet to prophesy. So when it comes to prophecy, he says you should what? Covet, which is the same word as desire, strongly. He now says, forbid not to speak with tongues. And that word is interesting because when it says forbid not to speak with tongues, the implication is this, tongues always comes. Don't stop it. The word that is used for forbid not is one single word. Tongues is always present. Tongues always comes. Don't stop it from coming. What is the instruction? Wherefore, convert to prophesy or to speak by inspired utterance. How do you get there? Forbid not to speak with tongues. In other words, it's telling you, tongues always comes. There is never a time that you cannot speak in tongues. You can speak because you are born of the Spirit. So the ability is resident. He's now saying tongues will always want to come. The only reason why it doesn't come out is because you are forbidding it. Or you are not allowing it. He's telling you it is not a function of something moving you. It is that the ability to speak is with you at all times. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know how to speak? That sounds funny. Amazing. You can speak. Why are you not speaking right now? Why are you not speaking right now? Notice you are responding to what I'm saying. So you can really speak. So you are not speaking because you are listening to what or teaching. Now look at it this way. It says, wherefore covet to prophesy. If you want to find out what it means, the next one that says, forbid not, or don't stop tongues from coming out. It's giving you a key. Tongues want to come out. How did they start in Acts? They were all filled and began to speak with other tongues. Now, it now says, when you want to cover prophecy, step into prophecy, how do you start? Forbid not to speak with tongues. So it's telling you, tongues will lead you into something deeper than just tongues. Or tongues is the opening of the door, or tongues is a handle on every other experience of the Spirit. That's what he's saying. So they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's why the most basic thing we can do for you as a newborn believer is to get you to speak with tongues. We're not giving you tongues, we're getting you to express something that you have. You cannot be born again and not be able to speak in tongues. But you can be born again and not speak. There's a difference. There's a difference between not being able to and not speaking. There are two different things. Not speaking usually is a function of ignorance. So it says, wherefore covet, and he's talking to a old church. Notice Paul doesn't say, is there any among you that doesn't speak? No, they all spoke. In fact, they spoke such a degree, Paul had to remind them, I speak with tongues more than you all. If I say, I thank my God. Hallelujah. I mean, he's making boast. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Why was Paul saying that? Well, there was a misuse and abuse of some of those things. Some people think that every tongue they speak was being interpreted. That's not true. That's not even scriptural. What Paul was teaching was this. He says, I'd rather speak 10,000 words, but I do it privately. But when I come to you, I make sure I speak most of what I was saying in understanding. In other words, he was telling them the use of those gifts. So the same Paul now says, wherefore, covet to prophesy, but what? Forbid not to speak with tongues. So let me ask you a question. If you want to get into prophecy, where do you start? Where do you start? So if you continue in tongues, where will it lead you to? It's so important you understand. So if you are trying to prophesy without starting with tongues, is it possible? Yes. If you understand fully and you are groomed in those things. But it says there's a easier way. What's that easy way? All of us can speak with tongues. So if I ask you, can you prophesy? The only reason why you will say no, it's because you may not know what prophecy means, or you will think it's a special equipping that's given to some people. But it's writing to the whole church. The whole church. And it says, covet to prophesy. How? It says, don't forbid or don't stop tongues. Let me show you a scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. That word, forbid not. Matthew 19, 14. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is what? The kingdom of heaven. The same word is used. That means the children were coming, the disciples were stopping them. Jesus says, don't stop them from coming. So any time, because of where a believer is and where a believer is, tongues always comes. Say tongues always comes. Say I have utterance at all times. So Paul is saying that, let me show you an easier way. Tongues will always come. It says, but there's a challenge. Say that, don't forbid it when it comes. Don't say, I don't want tongues, I want to prophesy. It says, you won't get into prophecy. How do you get into prophecy? You express what? Tongues. Now, remember on the day of Pentecost, when they were speaking, Moses, after a time, people gathered together and wondering, what was this? And then they spoke about the fact that they were speaking about the mighty works of God. So there was a time when they spoke in tongues, or they began in tongues, then after a while, they began to interpret what they were saying until everybody that came towards them understood what they were saying. Where did they start from? Tongues. Hallelujah. It was tongues that they started from. So in getting to the things of the Spirit, there is a beginning, there is a starting point. Every believer has a right to start from tongues. It says, wherefore, covet to prophesy. That means the way you show that you have a strong desire to step into supernatural utterances is that you start from what? Tongues. What gives you the right? It says you have been enriched by him in all utterance. So all the utterances of the Spirit, you and I have been supernaturally enriched with it. What do you need then? Understanding how to express it. Look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse 2. Quickly. For he that speaks Notice what unknown is. See, my tongues is not unknown. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as an unknown tongue. It says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto who? For no man understands. Do you notice the word him is italicized also? So, is it the person speaking that you don't understand, or what the person is saying? So he says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, howbeit in the spirit he speaks what? Let me ask another question. Can there be anything called mystery with God? Is there anything called mystery with God? So who is it a mystery to? You or God? So he that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men. For no man understands, you are included in that list of men that don't understand. So let me ask you a question. When you're speaking in tongues, will you understand what you are saying? I can't hear you. Will you understand what you are saying? Why do we interpret tongues so that you can understand? Is it natural for you not to understand when tongues is coming forth? Very natural. Does that make you less spiritual? No. You have just fulfilled scripture. You don't understand. Why don't you understand? It's a mystery. Why is it a mystery? It's not meant for the mind to comprehend. So what is going to happen for it, for the man to comprehend? Somebody has to interpret, either the speaker or somebody else. So when we want to make it available to the mind, what do? We want interpret. So it is normal, natural for you to speak with tongues and not understand. The Bible already gives you the basis. Who is speaking mysteries? You. Who is the mystery to? You. Is it a mystery to God? No. So let me put it another way. When you interpret, it is God letting you and your audience know the conversation that took place. Hallelujah. So, let me put it this way. Because a lot of times people say, how did they interpret that? How did Pastor Dolu interpret that tongues? Let me tell you something. The mind of man doesn't always need sound to understand something. The mind works in two ways, sound and images. If you are from the old school, when you go for parties, I don't know whether your parents treated like, my mom is a principal. She's a retired principal. I never understood. We're going to a party. You now force us to eat before we leave the house. Have you? And I said, when you get there, if you raise your hand for food, and I'm thinking, it's party we're going. Why would we not raise hands for food? Then, if you make the mistake of after they give you, they come and ask you for more. If you want more, and your mother is seated there, your face will just be straight. You want more, but you cannot talk. If you make the mistake of saying you want more, they will tell your mother, let us give him. They will give you. Your mother will give you a look. You will have the interpretation. She won't say anything. She just give you a look. How many of you know? That look is that you are finished. Let's get to. Your mother will even be smiling. I had a case of a particular woman. You know, in the U.S. there are laws about how to treat children. And the child was in the mall, and the child was pointing at certain items that the woman couldn't afford. So the child went through a tantrum in the mall. And you know, this white table just got down like, no, just buy. And so you wanted to discipline, but you can't discipline them. So she just changed to her language. I just said that, make we reach out. The child understands that language very clear. The chairs will just stop. You know that? You know, interpretation is not difficult. You just need to understand the language. That's what happens. So once mother just gives you, is that making the way I'm mother? You just give you one look. That look, you can see 24 strokes of king. In that look, it's strange. You cannot see clearly. Then you see yourself crying and nobody rescuing you. Visions are happier visions. You see yourself crying, nobody's coming to your rescue. You see everything like this for about 2 days. You tell yourself, it's not worth it. I'm not eating this food. You know, so with a look, you know, it's really sad because these days, if you give your child a look, you say, mommy, is your eye paying you? It's so easy. Is your eye paying you? Mommy, why are you touching your eye? Is your eye paying you? You don't understand nothing. You know, but the thing is the mind functions by sound and images. That means there are things the mind sees, it can interpret, just from saying. The same thing with sounds. Tongues is not designed for the mind of man to understand. There is another gift called interpretation of what? tongues that is given so that your mind can what? Participate in that fellowship. So it says, he that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men. So number one rule, don't try to force your mind to understand. You'll always miss it. Don't. Your mind is not meant to understand tongues. What your mind is meant to understand is what was communicated via tongues. There's a difference. It is a mystery to you. It's not a mystery to your father. Then your father gives you the ability to interpret so that your mind can now participate. So he says, he's not speaking to men but unto God. For no man understands, but in the spirit speaking mysteries. Look at next verse quickly. But he that what? Prophesies, speaks unto men to edification and exhortation. It's like those just jumped. He that speaks in tongues, then he just jumped. He that prophesies. He says, tongues is a mystery. But it says, when a man is prophesying, he's not speaking mysteries. He's speaking a language that men can understand. So if you go to the next two verses, he now explains what this verse is talking about, because it seems just jump from tongues to prophecy. How do you get into prophecy? Look at verse 5. I would, this is my desire, all of you don't want to speak with tongues, but rather that you may prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he, did you see that part? It says, greater is he that prophesies. The word greater there is not a reference to the individual, it's a reference to the function of the individual. What he's saying is this, I want all of you to express tongues, but it should be for one particular purpose. It should be that you get to the point where you can what? Prophesy. So in case you miss what he was trying to say, you want me to speak with tongues? You want me to prophesy? What is the link? He now says, the reason why I want you to prophesy rather than I just speak with tongues is this. The person who is prophesying is offering the body a greater service than the one who just speaks in tongues. And he says, this is how he does it. When he speaks in tongues, he brings out the interpretation. Hallelujah. Let me put it another way. I want all of you to speak with tongues, but it should be in order that you may want to prophesy. Notice one hall. So he's saying, everybody who is a member of this church, you can all speak with tongues, which implies you can all prophesy. What is he calling prophecy? When you speak in tongues, simply give the interpretation of the tongues that you just spoke. And it says all. Say all. Notice it doesn't say pastors. It says all. I would that you all, I'm taking it to the most basic so that you can get it. Because when we are in these kind of meetings, you are not meant to be a spectator. You are a participator by the nature that you have. Say, I speak with tongues. I interpret. I prophesy. It's an ability you already have. Paul, in this letter, is giving instructions on how believers can use what they already have. You already have this. So when he says, convert to prophesy, how? Don't stop that those tongues from coming. Let them keep flowing. And he has given these instructions. I want all of you, say all of us, to speak with tongues. He says, but there is an expectation. It is so that you can end up prophesying. How do you prophesy? When you speak with tongues, give the interpretation. I jumped the verse 4 for a reason. Go back to verse 4. He that speaks in tongues edifies who? Himself. But he that prophesies edifies who? The church. Do you see that? What's the difference between tongues and prophecy? What's the difference? Now, I want a general answer because some people are still not getting it. What's the difference between tongues and prophecy? What's the link? Interpretation. Okay? So when it says, he that speaks in tongues does what? Edifies himself. But he that prophesies does what? Edifies the church. If you follow what he has been saying from verse 2, what he simply says is this. Some people choose to stay with edifying themselves. Some people decide to take it a bit further. I will take it to the church. What is the difference between when you are doing it to yourself and when you are doing it to the church? You add interpretation. So when I come to the church, my tongues does nothing for you, but my interpretation will do something for you. You understand that? So my interpretation to what the tongues have spoken is what will bless you, not the tongue, because you are included in that list of men will not understand. What am I meant to give you? The part you understand. How do will I give it to you? I will interpret what I've what? Said. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to show you a principle because it's very important. How many of us came from, you have a white garment church background? Let me see. No, raise your hand very well. We know ourselves. We know ourselves. Well, I was there for 10 years. If you've not been there, praise God for you. Yeah, because if that's where you started from, when it comes to things of the Spirit, you first have a hard time understanding some things. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Begin to title there. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and sought diligently, who what? Prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Next verse. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, which was where? In them. This signify, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, this is actually a difficult text, because it says something that is contrary to every other thing that's been expressed in the New Testament. It speaks about the prophets. And that says the Spirit of Christ which was in them. So you have to study that text to understand what is it saying by the Spirit of Christ which was in them. Because none of the Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you mean you are born again. And none of them was born again. So the question is, when it says the word them, is it referring to the prophets or what the prophets said? Hallelujah. Do you understand? If any man has the Spirit of Christ in him, he's what? Born again. Did the prophets have the Spirit of Christ in them? No. I mean, just imagine it. Ezekiel was prophesying of the salvation we now have. And he says, God said, I will put my Spirit within you. If it was something that was already going on, that's no longer prophecy. It's already a reality. Was the Spirit of God in Ezekiel? No. So God has spoken that I will put my Spirit in them. What was the new thing? That the Spirit of God will live inside of men. So when it says, the Spirit of God which was in them, this signify, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Next verse. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto those they did minister what? The things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with what? The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look. In the days of Moses, the angels did not desire to look into anything. Because there was nothing really special about the law. They were the ones who enacted the law. But in Christ, that a man should have the Spirit, and a man should have eternal redemption, the angels are looking closely. They are learning. So when it says the Spirit of God which was in them, he's referring to the prophecies that he gave. The Spirit of Christ was in those prophecies, signifying of the salvation we now have. I'm going somewhere. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter 1. Let's read from verse 16. We're going to read quickly because of our time. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are one high witness of his majesty. Next verse, quickly. Next verse. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Yeah. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a most sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do it, that you take it as unto a light that shines in that place, until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. Next verse. Knowing this first, pay attention now, that no prophecy of the scripture, there's what you call prophecy of the scripture. All the prophecies of David, all the prophecies of Ezekiel, Isaiah, they were prophecies of scripture. No prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. Next verse. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but only men of God speak as they were what? Moved. That phrase is important. In this verse of scripture, the Apostle Peter tells us the difference between the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was not in them. There was no union. They were not sons. But the Spirit of God was acting with them, or they had activity of the Spirit. Hallelujah. How was he acting? Let me ask you a question. If you are trying to get across to somebody who is spiritually dead, will you use a spiritual reality or a physical reality? Physical or spiritual? Physical reality. So when Mama says they spoke as they were moved, there was actually a sensation that they felt. The word moved means they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. Why was that happening? They were spiritually dead. So the activity of the Spirit, the presence of God with them had to be physically felt. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the Spirit just upon you, or the Spirit lives inside of you? Do you need a physical activity to know the Spirit lives inside of you? So when he says no prophecy of the scripture or of the scripture is of any private interpretation, it didn't come by the will of man. Only men of God spoke as they were moved. Let me say this gently, and as we begin to explain it, you can prophesy now at will, because the prophecy of the New Testament is different from the prophecy of the Old Testament. You don't need any physical sensation, because the Spirit lives where? Inside of you. Why am I saying that? Let me go back to my white garment story. Till now, something falls on them. It's just that it's not the Spirit of God. How many of you know? Something falls. In fact, they are waiting for something to fall. Don't be like that in Jesus' name. They sing until there's a crescendo. Then the thing happens. You have not seen them before. They even jump around. Spirit of Sandy and Gesha. What is happening? They are trying to make something happen. And when you do that in the New Testament, you will accommodate wrong spirits. You have to be careful. This is the same mistake some believers are making. Believers are actually looking for sensation. You sensation. What Christ has done is bigger than any sensation. What does God expect you that on the authority of his word you step out? That's what God expects. You are not like Moses. You don't need any sensation. Because what you have is superior to what Moses had. He was dead spiritually. But Christ coming to you by spirit, you have been made alive spiritually. And because you are now alive, you can express this of spirit anytime. What do you need? Teaching. Nobody taught Moses. You had to learn by experiences. You don't need experiences. You have the authority of God's word. Glory to God. I mean, some things are stated in the epistle of Moses. He says, you may all prophesy one by one. Moses would be shocked if he read that. He said, you may all. Because Moses has to wait for a sensation to come. Say, you may all. That is interesting. You may all, because you already have the spirit. Let me put it this way. You have the spirit so much, so well, as a possession, that God has given instructions not to misuse it. That means he's not the one controlling the use. He has given his word to guide the use. Oh, if you understand what I just said now, is the reason why men of God with unrenewed minds curse people and it happens. They are using God's power wrongly. Will it still work? Yes. When God gives it to them, he doesn't take it back. Will they be judged for it? Yes. The one who called them will judge them for it. But that's why it happens. It's not because God is supporting them. Hallelujah. Because once God gives, he doesn't take back. He doesn't dictate how you use. He gives you his word to guide the usage of it. So that's why when you see somebody trying to function in things of the Spirit, without the word of God as a guideline, they are going to misbehave. I can have word of knowledge and know the exact amount you have in your account. Then I had flesh. The Lord says you should give it to me. I'm telling you how these things operate. How people behave. That's no longer God. That is the man. Brother, 2 weeks ago they gave you a new car. Give it to the Lord. That's covetousness now. That's not God. I hope you understand. Now you say, but it was accurate. Yes, it was accurate. And it can be accurate, but the use of the gifts can be abused and misused. Hallelujah. People don't, you see, these are some of the things that people, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Romans 11:29. When the gifts doesn't take it back. So it behoves us, child of God and ministers, to renew their mind with the word of God so that they don't abuse the gifts of the Spirit. Things of the Spirit. He says, you may all prophesy one by one. Because we have the Spirit, we can express the Spirit at will. We're not waiting for a moving. The only thing that should move is your mouth. That's what that's left. They began. They began. God gave utterance. They began. That means the stopping phase and the starting phase is in man. When God gave utterance, the people began, or they could have refused to begin, or by what person they could have forbidden tongues. If they forbid tongues, everything you see, so you saw on the day of day of Pentecost, would not have happened if they forbid speaking in tongues. So, tongues was coming, they opened their mouth, they expressed tongues, then they interpreted, then people had interpretation and were blessed. Then from that interpretation, Peter got up and began to preach, and 3,000 souls were saved at the end of the day. And would have seen nothing of those things if they forbid tongues. So, Bible says they began to speak, or they began to yield to the Spirit, or they began to allow the activity of Spirit to be physically seen. So, if you can speak with tongues, It means all the activities of the Spirit are behind the tongues that you're speaking. Hallelujah. All the activity. So where do you begin? With tongues. Where do you end up? Every other good thing will come forth. Look at that 1 Corinthians 5, 14 again, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I would that ye all speak with tongues. Who is ye all? The whole church. This is what I desire for you, all of you, to speak. So there is no such thing again as a believer who cannot speak. But there are believers who will not speak. I hope you know there's a difference. So there is no such as a believer who cannot. There are believers who will not. There's a difference. He says, I would that. So Paul is teaching based on what they already have. He has told them, God has enriched you with all utterance and all knowledge. How are you going to find out what he has enriched you with? You have to start out by what? Speaking. So two people are learning. When a man begins to speak in tongues, the speaker and other individuals who are present when he's speaking, they're also learning. Hallelujah. So I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather, so there's a priority. When you are in a public space, you are in a church service, I rather want you to prophesy. So use speaking in tongues as a tool to get into what? Prophecy. Hallelujah. Why is that important? Look at what it says again. It says, for greater or of more benefit is the one who is prophesying than the one who is what? Speaking in tongues. Except the one who is speaking in tongues gives us what? Interpretation. Glory to God. So let me ask you a question now. Based on that now, interpretation is in whose hands? God's hands or the hand of the one who spoke in tongues? I'm going to ask you another question. Which one is there to do? To speak with tongues or to interpret? It's open exam. You can open your... Which one is there to do? Speak with tongues or to interpret? Okay. Without interpretation, there's no tongues. Without interpretation, there's no tongues. So, what is interpretation depending on tongues? Okay. So, which one is more important, the tongues or interpretation? Okay. Which one is easier to do? Okay. So, if you speak in tongues now, can you interpret? Will you interpret? You see, that's when it's a class. Can you see him? Do you know the reason I say he that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men? So when you start speaking in tongues, who are you speaking to? Do you do it deliberately? Is it as you will? Okay, so let's look at it this way. Pastor is God. You know he looks like God. You cannot, yeah, he has all the characters, humility, everything is complete. This is God. So stand up. Uncle G, yeah, is man. He looks like man. Let him stand up. So, I'm the one who is in between them now. Okay? This is God. Anything I say to him is not a mystery, but it will be a mystery to me. If he's around, come closer. He's around. He heard me speaking to who? To God. As long as I stay with tongues, who am I speaking to? God. But this man is looking at me like, he's not saying amen. He's not saying, oh yes, because he has no clue what I'm saying. Now, this is God. Who never ignores any man. Okay? When I finish speaking with him, I chose to start. He is always ready, always available, always willing. I chose to start speaking with him. God is now instructing me, son, when you finish this conversation, go and tell this other guy everything we discussed in a language he can understand. When he says go and tell, it's because he has given me ability already. I'm not waiting for him to give me. He has given me. So if I don't tell him, I am the one we told it, not him. Do you understand that? Because when I spoke in tongues, with that speaking came the ability to interpret also. Do you understand tongues? Do you know where it's coming from? Is it coming from your spirit? Where will interpretation also come from? Your spirit. In the same way you started speaking. So here's what people do. They started speaking. Your mind is not participating in tongues because you know you are speaking to God. You don't even need to interpret because God understands. Okay? So what they now do is that they now want to interfere the process with their mind when they want to turn to this person. Don't interfere. Just face this person and expect that the same way you spoke to God, he will now allow you to tell this person everything you and him discussed so that this person can be blessed. If you understand what I'm saying. Thank you. It's that simple. So, let me put it another way. Because
I have had questions from people, so I know how the mind of church members work. A pastor calls me, Sister Nike, come and speak with tongues. And I've not prayed. If it's interpreting call, you start thinking that the tongues is easier. Interpretation is difficult. I will explain this later. Is the tongues that's even difficult? It's not interpretation. Did you summon enough boldness to utter something you don't understand? Then the one who gives understanding. Did you get what I'm saying? When you spoke in tongues, is it not by faith? Let me tell you something. It was by faith when you started. It is still by faith till now. Because you still don't understand. And you are saying it. Is that not faith? You know, God told you, you are making sense to me. And since the day you started saying it, you have never made sense to yourself and you are still speaking it. Is that not faith? So your faith has been unconscious all along. So the real faith is in the tongues you even spoke, not interpretation, because that one cannot fail to come. That one is attached to the tongues that you spoke. So we have interpretation because there is tongue. Do you understand? So the greater work is the tongue. Hallelujah. That's the greater work. The greater work is even speaking. Why do you think God, Jesus, will spend 40 days teaching them that? Just speak. Don't say it's gibberish. It's just speak. If somebody stands up here and speaks German, except you understand German, it will be gibberish to you. And it's not gibberish, it's a language. Tongues is a language that your spirit generates because it's in union with Christ. That's what happens. So if you give to an utterance in tongues, automatically, once there are people there, just know that interpretation will come. It will come. Say it will come. If it won't come, we won't have instructions like, you may all prophesy. It says, one by one. So at the whole night, for instance, I said, let's start from Sister Freda. She gets up, prophesies. Brother Sonny gets up. Mr. Akumwari gets up. One by one. We can, you know, some of you, before we get to you, I say, I want to go to the loo. But when you see somebody get up and prophesy, what is meant to call your attention to is the fact that what he can do, I can do because it's the same spirit. What did he do that was special? The person just yielded to what we all have. That's what happened. So someone just put the person who stepped out among the 120, who got up was who? Peter. Could John have gotten up also? Yes. They could have gotten up. But who got up first? Peter. That's what happened. Among the 120, somebody must have spoken first. I'm almost sure it's Peter. Because he's a forward person naturally. But why did he do that? He acted on what Jesus said. Now, every one of us, depending on your process of speaking in tongues, how you started, if you didn't have a rough time getting filled. You know, some people, the way you got filled, you were really filled. You know, the process that they took you through. Oh, you have to do like this. Oh, you have to do like this. Some people want to teach people how to speak in tongues. They want to teach it. Say, laba, laba, laba. Lobo, lobo, lobo. I don't understand. How can you teach somebody to speak in tongues? They don't teach it in any school. Or it will come. Your mouth is... As we're going on, you know, when you hear some of the pastor's tongues, and it's like, it's sweet. Ah! Like someone say, if my tongue's like Pastor Tolu's tongue, it's original. His tongue's original. Sounds like Portuguese. It's like... Very original. Ah! Mine is loca. That, why didn't the Spirit give me, you know, Latin tongues? This one sounds like it's from Ekiti. You know, this one is. And the truth is that the reason why your tongue sounds the way it sounds because that's how you sound. It's not even that God gave you, it's you that sounds like that. So when you hear two tongues, let's be kind this morning. So, the one who is forming the words, is it the spirit or you? Is you. Is you. Okay. You don't believe. When you are in pain, how do you react? Most of it is ye. It's not ye. Ouch is borrowed language. You were not born with ouch. I mean, even that. So, you know, and there are different ways to express. The expression is you. The inspiration is God. Can you see the difference? It's going to come out through you, so it will be colored with your personality. So if something happens to you, for example, maybe the company causes you pain, there's a way you react. That reaction is you. Isn't it? It's you. That's not the pain. That is you. So you are the one who is reacting based on the pain. The same thing with tongues. The hot trance is there. How it flows out is you. So you sound the way you sound because that's how you sound. You say tongues. Your vocabulary is limited to how much you have allowed yourself to extend it. You can extend it beyond the way you are speaking now. Because you can. Why? The development of it is you. The same way development in languages. I learn new words all the time because I sometimes check dictionary. If I find a word that's a bit strange, I look at the application dictionary so that I can. Because I don't assume I know. Assumption has cost me a lot. So I go and check. This word, what does this mean? How do you apply it? It was very strange. Like, what's like impugn? I-M-P-U-G-N. What's like that? You're like, what is this one? Which one is impugn? So that when you actually check, you don't just assume. You check the identifier. The same way also, when it comes to, you can elongate your vocabulary. You can increase it. By speaking more, it is in speaking more that it gets what better. Now, the same way when it comes to interpretation, interpretation is you. Inspiration is God. That's why you can use past tense in present tense. You can be grammatically wrong. And you are still speaking for God. Who is making the grammatical error? You. Brethren, as David delivered Israel from Egypt, so will I deliver thee. Who makes it up? God or you? You are the one. It's your Bible knowledge that makes it up. So, the utterance is still originating from who? From God. But the person who is expressing it is what? Imperfect. Which is why you study your Bible so that when you are expressing or you are interpreting, you have the right vocabulary to what? To express well. Say amen. But the tongues proceeds from you. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. And next week we'll continue. We'll start looking at one of because when it comes to the fact of God giving, it says you should receive. When it comes to after God has given, it says desire. Desire simply means that which you already have an affection for it that would draw it to the surface. So the person who expresses what God has already given is the one responsible for the expression, not God. So let me say it another way. When we are having these meetings, no believer should be waiting for God to move in. You are not Moses. You are not David. The Spirit doesn't just suddenly come upon you. The Spirit already lives where? Inside of you. Say, I have the Spirit. Romans 8:9. Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So because you have the Spirit of Christ, you are in union with Christ, that Spirit on your inside means you can express the supernatural anytime when you are ready. So you're not waiting for a sensation. You are meant to just act on the authority of God's word. So if I call you now, for instance, I say, come and bless us. Your mind may be blank when you stand up. I assure you, by the time you get here, you will have something. So this is why. You may not be aware of what you have because you are not conscious at that point in time. What will make you conscious? The same thing that makes all of us conscious. You start speaking. When you start speaking, what will happen? You become conscious of what is now already what? Available. Glory to God. That's what happens. So the things of the Spirit just takes you stepping out in faith. You will never find instructions like, you may all prophesy under the Old Testament. That's what having the Spirit has given us. You may all. It says one by one. So if you go row by row, what we will have, things that will edify the church, that will bless all of us. The idea is this, it should never be a one-man show so that Christ may be all in all. Hallelujah. We were in a meeting recently, and I just felt impressed to call Mrs. Adishi. She later told me that she did not know, she didn't have anything. She did not know what she was going to say. By the time she walked from where she was to the mic, she also heard herself saying. It wasn't even just prophecy, she was giving a word of knowledge. That was the way we ended up the meeting. But she didn't have it seated down. When I say have it, she didn't have it consciously. Was it inside of her? Yes. Or was it waiting for? Call out. That's my job. Call out. So I will call you out. You're trying to avoid contact. I will still see you. I'll pick on you. You better be smiling at me because if you're smiling, look away. The more you look away, the more I'm ready to call you. Someone says why? It is this understanding that tongues a meeting that is seemingly quiet, nothing's happening, to a meeting where the glory of God is a manifestation. The glory of God is always present where saints are, but it's not always manifest. We are the ones who are responsible for making it what? Manifest. What do? We start speaking. It's in our speech. It's in our shout. It's in our praise. It's in our song. It's in our dance. It's even in our laughter. Hallelujah. But notice all those things have to do with you expressing something. So you are the one who starts. So let me put it this way. In the New Testament, you are not waiting for God. God is waiting on you. It means when we even have a service, and God has said that, you know, in that service I will do A, B, C, D. None of the things he said he would do will happen if the people that are endowed with ability do nothing. You understand that? So let me ask you a question. Is it God that needs to be ready or you? In a manner of speaking, it means you can hold God ransom. I'm going to heal this, and I will turn around this, and I will not. He has given instructions. This is what I'm going to do. Then the people is going to do it through, refuse to respond. What will happen? Nothing. That's why it always abuses me. When people come to service, they say, nothing moved in that service. You are the one who didn't move. That's the problem. You didn't move. You killed the service. You buried it under 6 feet of soil. Because you forgot that you are not a spectator in the church, but you are a participator. That means what you do in the service actually what matters. It really matters. When you come together, every one of you, that's what the Bible teaches. When we come together, every one of us. Hallelujah. Mr. Devon, come. Then Pastor T, come. Pastor T, come. Why am I calling them? I don't know. We will soon find out. Now you're going to speak in tongues. Take it slow.
My brazos kenebros kadariga grazato daribros kalariga. And graze otoba griske handola grosh kalaribro gazatara. Indrega zota rigros karibo zatida la broshka. And graze atoda la rigros atu because dishkere akasatara. Who say tide a broshka mangra zotari kakazatide a gracozocha in drishka brokrosatada da graske de handrushk. Ma bruske de broshka lida da gaskatari grucosotoba. Indra guske handrish kabo guska libreski de handra. Mandrigazocha li grazatera li broshke de gaska. He embraces tabosh kalibra gazaturi kagazeta. Andre gozozoshka marigra zotari handrigazata. Indre gazushke hebra gozo. Zoto mandraga ziske andresh goskari krakosata yuske adreshka. Amen.
No longer will I believe in the lie that I cannot express the things of the Spirit. No longer will I believe the lie that is only meant for a selected few. No longer will I believe in the lie, oh, that the things of the Spirit, oh, they are for the apostles, they are for the prophets, they are for the teachers. Oh, but now I know that they are for every believer. So I will embrace the things of the Spirit. I will even separate myself onto the things of the Spirit. And then at will, I will call forth tongues and interpretation. At will, I will call forth prophecy. At will, I will make manifest the gift of faith. I will make manifest the working of the Spirit. I will make manifest everything. No, because I see clearly now. I see, it has been taught me. Now I understand. And so I will separate myself to these things. Oh, I will even go ahead, close my door, oh, and begin to speak in other tongues, and then I will bring forth the meaning, and then I will write it down, I will look at it, and then I will give it another shot. I'm going to make myself better in the things of the Spirit now.
Now, I want you to notice something that he began to exhort about the message we just heard. You notice that? Interpretation. Okay, he began to exhort. Then he stepped over into instructions. Okay? He said, I will give myself to the things of the Spirit more. Which is, now, from what she said, he got that. He won't have that until she says it. You understand now? So he had the interpretation, she had the utterance. Now, there's more. That's one reason why I asked him to also come.
Magrazushke handwell agoskare broshkeli handwa li grazuskele broska libra karari broskare ari gurskara raskara libra andrega gazatore le grashkara ri grazuske imbra gazati andrela leoshka bagrazatare la griske indrega zushka magre gagazatara riga andrea gazoshka li gazuske magrazatara andre hagra setele broskale magrazute indrega zushka la gagazatara uske handrele broske magrazatuba Igrazeshke le grazutska rabroske Indre gazeya Mandre de broshke le grazutske le agra Indre gazota Uske le de boshka Mangrazushka la griske le handra Uske le de hega Gazutska li kreshka de broska Mangrazushke he drega shkarari Andro gazotova gazushka li handra gazka He drega sushke
So I will take what is already inside of me and bring forth the hidden man to make it known to everybody. In consistency, in giving myself to the things of the Spirit, in giving myself to words by the Spirit, I make known what is of the Spirit in the physical realm, thereby enforcing what has been settled in whatever that is unsettled. So in that way, I enforce the victory of Christ. In that way, I make known the hidden riches of Christ.
So I stand in the things of the Father. I focus the things of the Father. I'm not swayed by the things of the world. My eyes are focused on the things of the Father. And this time, all I focus on are the things of the Father. I do not let the things of the world come to my mind. I focus on the things of the Father. I remind myself of the Scripture. I stay in the Spirit. I speak by the Spirit. I live by the Spirit. Hallelujah.
All right, thank you. Now, as we go on, I'm going to show us something called operations. Operations, Mr. Adishi, come please. Operations is how the things of the Spirit find expression through you. That means there is a peculiar way he finds expression through you. Operations is peculiar to an individual. Okay? Now, as he was speaking, now, again, pay attention. This time is not interpretation of what she said. As she was speaking, I will show us a scripture where the Bible says that if the prophet speak two, at most by three, if something be revealed to another that sits by, let the first one what? Take his seat. We will get there. But one of the things you need to understand is now, I'm not saying I'm a prophet too. I'm using an illustration to say that he is actually saying when others are speaking, others will know what they are ought to do. How many of you understand that? If that is somebody gets up and starts speaking, you didn't know your role in the meeting until that person started speaking. What she's saying is not what you are going to do, is not interpretation, but she activated what you have. How many of you understand that? Okay. Now, so that's why I want to say what I'm going to say now. Okay? Because I do a lot of revelation gifts. Okay. Now, you have been in offense with an individual for a while. You were led during the week, I think the last 2 days, that when you see the person today, don't say anything. Just go and give that person a hug. I'm now telling you, that's the Spirit of God. Go and give that person a hug after service. And many things you're waiting for to see manifest, it will manifest. Hallelujah. I just give you a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. It's important that you obey. Now, Mr. Adishi, please come. Now. Then, secondly, pay attention to this also. After service, if you've been having a bit of a struggle in your home, just come and see Pastor Jimmy after service. And let her just hug you and just say a word of prayer. It will amaze you the things that you will see. How did I know those things? When she was speaking, I began to hear certain instructions. So what I'm saying is this. Let me ask you, is the role she played this morning, is it inconsequential or very important? None of the things I'm doing now did I know until she started speaking. So we have a starting point. She must speak. Then there are things that Pastor Sulu will say. And so Pastor Sulu will say. Then there are some things how we now what? Say. So notice that we are interdependent. How many of you understand that? So it's very important. Once someone begins to yield what others are meant to do, sometimes it's a song. Someone listens to a song. Your song will let others know what they are what? Meant to do. I want you to go to him, Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams, please stand up. Now, in the all night, there will be room for one-on-one. Do you understand that? That is, we have instructions to go to individuals and pray for them. That's why we need hours. so that I won't rush now. We can't do that in Sunday morning service. We will be here till 3. Do you understand? Now, let me tell you another thing. If we keep yielding, what will keep happening? What will keep happening? So, what we've yielded to now, I need just a little bit more. I will go by the way of a loan. Do not borrow. Stay with me. That which I began, I will finish. I will complete. I will help you. I will assist you. I will aid you. I will see to it that the supplies will come. Stay with me, for the same favor by which you started will complete that which has begun. He that began a good work, he will perfect it. He will perfect it. Hallelujah. Now, as long as we cannot subra ikeligi shikoro, the uzavrana kuligiti ili shugro degiye, often pressure from works means that you are about to be excused out. But many other times, it means you are being tested for your higher position. So give him praise and say, this test is for your higher position. And I'm going beyond where I am, for there's a better place prepared for me in him. More responsibility, a greater place to occupy, a higher office, and more income comes my way. Hallelujah. So now, once we begin to yield, we'll just be seeing more and more and more. Now, some of the things we've tried to say now, some will just come. Do you know if you listen to the words of their songs, they will come and sing out what Pastor Tulu said, or some things that Pastor Tulu just said now. Is that legitimate? Yes. What is the difference? Operation. It's just operating differently. Do you understand? It's just operating differently. Because I'm a pastor of the church, I don't usually like to start the meeting much. There's a reason why. Because I want us to start from where? Basics. I don't always start at basics. Usually I thought I just jump into revelation. So usually I want to start from prophecy. That is from tongues and what? Interpretation. Then we begin to swim deeper. That's what we're supposed to be. So that we actually increasing little by little by little. So there are some people here, you'll be activated along the line. And there are some things you'll start singing out. Start singing out some things. Some things you'll be led to act out. We are a supernatural body. And there are things that are going to come out of us in the next few weeks. Amen? And it will be like what you call, it's like a preparation. By the time we are having our Holy Ghost meeting in August, Holy Ghost meeting in August, is the team is much more. See, there's much more. There's much more to experience, much more to enjoy in Christ. So, I'm trying to get us to an appreciation that there's so much of Christ in us if we learn how to what? Yield. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to yield, and we're going to have the river of God flow forth freely within us to bless one another. We are a supernatural body. Supernatural things ought to be happening every time we gather. Ought to be happening every time we gather. But we can arrange service such a way such that everybody is immunized to the spirit. They can't even fool to the spirit at all. We can. Or we can organize service such a way that everybody is on the edge of their seat ready to yield. You will find that the Spirit is always willing because of what Christ has accomplished for us. So, what can you do? What favor can you do for me as your pastor? Stay conscious of the things I've taught. Stay aware. And then stay ready. Come to every service saying, I'm going to flow today. I'm going to yield today. And not only will I be blessed, others will be blessed also. Are we in agreement? Are we in agreement? Others will be blessed also. That's so important. Others will be blessed also. Every time we allow the Spirit of God free course, we get supernatural things. Many things you want to cross over, like an obstacle that you're struggling with, that in these meetings we just take care of it. You can't explain how it came to pass. In a meeting like this, someone was given a word in 7 days' time. Some words can actually sound ludicrous. That's not possible. So in exactly 7 days, you're going to experience the supernatural financial increase. And the person said, I have a relative in the U.S. that has not looked in my direction for 10 years. And at the end of the 7 days, the person sent him over $1 million. Just like that. So there are different things we can get. But the most important is that the body should be edified is the purpose of Christ. So we did a practical class today. We're going to do a practical class next week. You may be the guinea pig in our class next week.
So if you notice I'm looking at you too much next week, don't leave church. Just sit down. As you are going, you set up, you want to go to Lulu, say, block him. Hallelujah. Why? I want you to be very at home and not be afraid of the supernatural. It's our realm. Say, it's our realm. We're going to improve. We're going to get better at yielding to this seed. Hallelujah.